1,000 years before Jesus came and died on the cross, David, in one of his Psalms, describes what death by crucifixion is like. Now, he doesn't use the word crucifixion because nobody even knew that word. But 1,000 years before the Romans are even thinking of crucifixion, David describes what the death and the crucifixion is like. How did he know that? Only God could have told him.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick makes it possible for anyone to study and understand what the Word of God really says. Whether you've just started studying the Bible, you've been studying for a while, or you're a biblical scholar, there's something for you in this amazing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a great video resource that is the perfect complement to this audio series called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit, which includes a DVD and workbook. It's perfect for your own study time or your time with your small group. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Why Can I Trust the Bible?
One of the proofs that we know that this book is not simply man-made, that this book came from God, that God directed men and women to talk and speak and write things down, and we know that it's the Word of God, is what's not in it. What's not in it? Because if this were a human book, you would expect it to be filled with scientific facts of the prevailing day. But they're not here. They're not in the book. For instance, for thousands and thousands of years, people believed the earth was flat. It wasn't until Copernicus and Galileo and Columbus that people realized the world's not flat, it's round, it's a sphere, it's a ball. And so you would expect the Bible to say the earth is flat because it was in existence and being written during those thousands of years when everybody thought the world was flat. Not a single verse in the Bible says the earth is flat. Not at all. In fact, it says the exact opposite. 2,600 years ago, God said this in the book of Isaiah 40, verse 22. God is enthroned above the sphere of the earth. 2,600 years ago, the Bible says the earth is round. The earth is a sphere. The earth is a globe. Long before anybody knew it. Everybody, when that was written, nobody believed it. But God said it, and it was true, whether anybody believed it or not. For thousands of years, people believed the earth had to be held up by something. And depending on the culture you were in, you got certain different beliefs on what held it up. For instance, if you were Greek, in Greek culture, you believed that the world was held up by a giant named Atlas. Okay, we all know who Atlas is. Atlas held up the world. Now, part of the Bible is written in Greek. Atlas isn't in the Bible. Why? Because it's not true. So it's not in the Bible. You would expect that during that time it would have somehow found its way into the Bible, but it's not there. For thousands of years, the Hindus believed that the earth sat on the back of giant elephants. And that when the elephants moved, that's what caused earthquakes. Now, they say, well, what did the elephants stand on? I'm not making this up. You can find it in any science or encyclopedia. They believed that the giant elephant stood on the back of a giant sea turtle. And the giant sea turtle stood on the back of a giant sea serpent who swam through a cosmic sea. Now, that was the prevailing attitude in the world for hundreds, if not thousands of years. It's not in the Bible, even though the Bible is being written during this time. Why? Because the Bible leaves out the lies. The Bible tells us that Moses was skilled and schooled in all of the wisdom of the ancient Egyptians because Moses was adopted as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he went to the best schools in ancient Egypt and was taught what was the prevailing science of that day. Now, the Egyptians were flat out brilliant. They built the pyramids. They were masters at architecture, at engineering, at astronomy, at a number of things. But the ancient Egyptians were dead wrong on what held up the earth, because ancient Egypt believed that the earth was held up by five pillars. Certainly, Moses was schooled in that science because he went to the best schools in the land as Pharaoh's grandson. And yet not once in Scripture do you find the earth is held up by five pillars. Why? Because it's not true. And so it didn't make it into the Bible. The prevailing science of the day didn't make it there. In fact, the oldest known writing to man is likely the book of Job. It's the oldest literature in existence today that we know about. Job was the first book written in the Bible. Books of the Bible are not in chronological order. Job is the oldest book. And in Job 26, verse 7, the oldest known literature in the human race, it says this: God stretches the sky over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. Who told Job? How did he know that? Everybody knows the earth is flat and it's on the back of pillars. It's not, why? Because the Bible only always tells the truth.
We'll continue our series, 40 Days in the Word, in just a few moments. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says, no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why he's created a tool to help you do just that. It's called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. The kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page, 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. A personal 40 Days in the Word journal. And Bible verse memorization cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. You'll also find a special section called How Can We Know the Bible Came from God? And a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this amazing study tool. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, call 800-600-5004. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 99000. Thanks so much for your support.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
The Bible only always tells the truth. I'm reinforcing this because I want you, it is sheer nonsense to say that the Bible is scientifically inaccurate. That means you just don't know the Bible. For instance, for years, it was the accepted science that there were about 1,000 stars in the universe and that they could be counted, that the number of stars were finite. In fact, 150 years BC, a guy named Hipparchus counted them. And he wrote a very famous dissertation, 150 years BC, saying that there are 1,022 stars in the universe. That's it. And it was accepted for a long, long time that there were only 1,022 stars in the universe. Yeah, but it doesn't say that in the Bible. 300 years later, 150 years BC, a guy named Ptolemy does it again. And he comes out and he says, that Hipparchus, that guy's a kook. He's a nut. There are 1,026. He found 4 more stars. Shoot, they found planets this year. I read an article just a couple weeks ago where a guy said the number of stars in the universe is infinite. It is widely accepted today that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the planet Earth. They cannot be counted. Now, we didn't know that. I mean, everybody accepted there are 1,026 stars. But 2,600 years ago in the Bible, God had said this, Jeremiah 33:22, the number of stars are infinite. Guess Ptolemy didn't read that one. Or anybody else for thousands of years. But it was there because it is the truth. It is always the truth. I mean, I could go into so many different areas, into biology and show you what the Bible says about biology, into chemistry and show you what the Bible says about chemistry, into medicine. You know, for many years, people believed that too much blood in your body made you sick. For thousands of years, this was an accepted custom, and they did what was called bloodletting. You know what I'm talking about? How that doctors would cut a sick person and bleed them, thinking that was going to make them healthy. That was accepted science. Everybody knew that was true. It wasn't, but everybody knew it was true science. And you cut the blood, and it was because of Hippocrates. And for 2,000 years since Hippocrates, they believed that all illness came from four bodily fluids: yellow bile, black bile, red blood, or blue phlegm. And it also those four fluids also controlled your temperament. Nobody believes that anymore. But for 2,000 years, that was scientific proof. And so people thought, well, you have to bleed people to get the bad stuff out. Many people don't know that our first president, George Washington, was killed by doctors bleeding him to death. That's how he died. George Washington had a heart problem, and doctors didn't know what to do, so they did the common science of the day, and they bled George Washington. He didn't get well, so a few days later, they bled him again. They cut him and bled him. He didn't get well, so a few days later, they bled him a third time, and he died from blood loss. Now, today, we know you give people blood when they're sick. It's the exact, we do the exact opposite of what they did for thousands of years. You give people blood because we know the life source is in the blood, and good blood makes people feel better, that's where the life comes from. It's called a transfusion. We give people blood today. But they didn't know that for thousands of years. But the Bible knew it. In fact, back in Leviticus 17, thousands and thousands of years ago, Leviticus 17:11, God said this: the life of every creature is in its blood. How did Moses know that? That wasn't known for thousands. We didn't even know that blood circulates until around 1650. It wasn't until the 17th century when William Harvey discovered that blood circulates. For thousands of years, nobody even thought it circulated. Everybody bought into Galen, who was the Greek doctor for 2,000 years, accepted his idea, basically, that the heart was the source of heat, but nobody knew it actually pumped blood. And yet, thousands of years ago, the Bible says the life of every creature is in its blood. They should have just read the Bible. During the Middle Ages, there was the bubonic plague. The bubonic plague killed 1/4 of Europe. 1 out of every 4 people died during the Black Plague because we didn't understand germs. And we didn't understand contagion. And we didn't understand infection. And we didn't understand quarantining people. And so they had sick people with the bubonic plague who were contagious sleeping right next to healthy people, and people just kept dying. Because we didn't know about germs and contagion, and it became an epidemic and then a pandemic. I should have read the Bible. Because thousands and thousands of years before the bubonic plague, God had said in Leviticus 13:4 this: put an infected person in quarantine for 7 days. That's thousands of years before we even knew what germs were. God was saying, here's how you take care of people who get infected with an illness. You put them outside the camp for 7 days. And if they're still sick, he says in the next verse, keep them out there for another 7 days. Nobody understood quarantine because nobody understood germs. But God was right. I could go on and on. The Bible is always scientifically accurate. It is always ahead of science. The Bible says this, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is flawless. Mine aren't, yours aren't, human beings aren't, but every word of God is flawless. In fact, it's not only flawless. Psalm 12, 6 says this. The words of the Lord are flawless like silver refined in a furnace of clay and purified seven times. It's like, is that the right word? Is that the right word? Is it purified seven times? My wife, Kay, wishes I'd speak like that. Because, see, often my mouth gets in gear before my mind gets engaged, and I say words that are flawed. But God's word is flawless. We know we can trust the Bible because it is historically accurate. Archaeology confirms it. And it is scientifically accurate. Number three, we know we can trust the Bible because it is prophetically accurate. It is prophetically accurate. What does that mean? It means that the promises and the predictions in the Bible always come true. Now, the Bible is filled with literally thousands and thousands of prophecies where God says, this is going to happen at such and such a time in such and such a way. And over all of the centuries, thousands of these prophecies have already been fulfilled, every one of them exactly as God said. And some of them are still yet to be fulfilled. You know, there are over 300 prophecies in the Bible about Jesus, the Messiah, up to 1,000 years before he was born. And over a 1,000-year period, 300 prophecies said things like, this is when he'll be born, this is where he'll be born, this is how he'll be born. You can't control that if you're trying to make yourself the Messiah. You didn't choose where you were born. This is how he'll die and the manner he'll die and what he'll die from. And all of the over 300 prophecies. What are the odds of me making 300 predictions about you and every one of them coming true? The odds are so astronomical, you couldn't write that number down. You see, it takes more faith to believe it all just was a coincidence than to believe that God planned it. It takes an enormous faith to believe it's all just random. That it all just happened without a designer, without a creator. 1,000 years before Jesus came and died on the cross, David, in one of his psalms, describes what death by crucifixion is like. Now, he doesn't use the word crucifixion because nobody even knew that word. But 1,000 years before the Romans are even thinking of crucifixion, David describes what the death and the crucifixion is like. How did he know that? Only God could have told him. Look at these verses. The Bible says in 2 Peter, no prophecy ever originated from humans. In other words, guys didn't just sit around and go, hey, let's think this one up and write it down. No prophecy ever originated from humans. Instead, it was given by the Holy Spirit as humans spoke under God's direction. You know, during Bible times, nobody wanted to be a prophet. You know why? Because the law was this in Israel. A prophet of God had to be correct 100% of the time. And if you were wrong just once, then you were considered a false prophet and would be put to death. So nobody wanted to be a prophet. Because you had to be accurate 100% of the time. Now, there are a lot of people who claim to be prophets today. There are prophets, false prophets, non-prophets. Okay. I mean, by the way, let me just give you a little tip. Don't ever trust a psychic who asks for your name. I mean, if you're so psychic, you shouldn't have to ask for my credit card. You should just know it. And don't say, well, I know all about you. Okay, then tell me what my credit card number is. Then I'll believe you. Okay? It's prophetically accurate. Jesus said this in Matthew 26. But all this is happening to fulfill the words of the prophets. as recorded in scriptures. Jesus said it's all coming true, just like God predicted. Revelation 22, John says, the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy, this prophecy. These words are trustworthy. You can trust it, and they're true. Why? Because they're from God. The Lord sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. It is prophetically accurate, and the odds of all these prophecies happening and just the way they did over thousands of years is astronomical. Number four, the fourth reason I know that the Bible is trustworthy is it is thematically unified. It is thematically unified. What I mean by that, it has the same theme through the entire book, from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. It is the same theme of redemption from Genesis to the end. Jesus is the star, and it is a thematically unified book. You say, what's so big deal about that? I know a lot of books that carry the same theme from the beginning to the end. Written over 1,600 years by 40 different authors? I don't think so. You see, this book was written over 1,600 years from the first book to the last by 40 different authors, on three different continents, in three different languages, and they didn't know about each other. How do you think they all got the same story? You see, it'd be one thing if one person wrote this book. See, the Quran was written by one person, Muhammad. The Analects of Confucius are written by Confucius. The writings of Buddha are written by Buddha. You would expect them to be uniform. The Bible was written by 40 different people in every age and stage of life, as I said, on three different continents, in three different languages, over 1,600 years, and they got the same story.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com or iTunes and download our podcast to listen again. Rick's going to be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement. Pastor Rick Warren says that the ultimate purpose of the Bible is to change our lives, and that the road to change begins with studying God's Word. Rick says that it's not enough just to love the Word and learn the Word. He says we must live the Word too. That's why he's created a tool to help you do just that. It's called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. The kit includes a 6-video session DVD and a 206-page 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time, a personal 40 Days in the Word journal, and Bible verse memorization cards, with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. You'll also find a special section called How We Can Know the Bible Came from God, and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks so much for your financial support of Daily Hope. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
You know, everybody, it's so encouraging to hear how God's working in the lives of Daily Hope listeners. And so I love getting these testimonies. And I want to share this one that just came to me from Wanda. Wanda describes herself as a Messianic Jew. That means she's come from a Jewish heritage, but she has accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Now, here's what Wanda says. She said, my life is filled with multiple challenges, both in parenting and with major family health issues. But Daily Hope has taught me where to go in the Bible to learn what God says and why God says what he says. Daily Hope has taught me how to have a relationship with Jesus, and it gives me my daily spiritual vitamin to go together with my Bible reading. It helps make God's Word understandable and meaningful. Now, did you notice in that note from Wanda, she says Daily Hope is just part of her daily quiet time? You need to open your Bible, not just listen to me. You need to get into God's Word every day. Even if you're just looking at one verse, it's a habit we all need to maintain. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down one verse a day and carry that with you throughout the day. You can write it on a little 3x5 card or whatever. And then watch as God shows you how relevant that particular verse is throughout your day. You'll be amazed. Thanks for listening, everybody. And remember, let's continue to make God's Word a daily habit in our lives.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.